Yoma instead of Parsha. Is Parsha important? Very. Well, we only have 1 hour a week, so we have to choose what to do. So our celebration of Purim actually begins before Purim. Even though we're so, you know, hyped up for the Purim and the Mishloach Manos and the Matanis Levyonim, you have to be careful with that. You should just know that the money has to be given on Purim day to the Evyon himself. So what many Batei Knisios arrange is that the Rav, make sure you trust your rabbi, collects money. You can give it to him before Purim. The Inyan is that he is giving your money out on Purim day itself. So it's not enough to put money in a pushka on Purim and say, this is Matanos Levyonim. That's tzedakah that's coming from your Meiser. That is not the fulfillment. I don't teach anything halacha without sources. I've said that many times. I heard Rav Shai Shechter speak about it last year, and then I heard again him speak about it this year in a shir. So just a halachic detail is that Matanos Levyonim has to be given out. Some people may not realize this. You can't put money in the pushka or pull out your credit card and give money to Chai Lifeline on Purim day. You could do that. You're doing the mitzvah of tzedakah. You are not actually fulfilling the mitzvah of matanos levyonim. Your money must be given to an evyon on Purim day. Furthermore, Rav Shai said this is separate from your meiser money. This is not part of meiser. This is its own mitzvah of Purim day. So like what my shul does, Rabbi Willick, for example, and I know many shuls do this, you can give the rabbi money before Purim. They put out a collection for before Purim. He gives it out. You often don't know an evyon, and even if you do know an evyon, are you really going to knock on their door and say, hi, you know, I know you're from the supermarket and I'm here to give you $100. How are they going to feel? And when it comes to giving to other people, we don't want to embarrass them and make them feel like the town pauper. But the money actually has to be given out on Purim day. I'm not saying anything on my own. This is how Shai Shechter explained. It's actually very interesting. He said he asks his father every year, how much do you have to give? The answer, I think, is going to shock you. Between $5 to $10. This is not Meiser. This is Matanos Levyonim. Why? Because it's supposed to be enough, maybe, I don't know, I don't think you could buy anything for $5 to $10 today, significant. It's supposed to give them enough funds to buy something for the Purim Suda. The whole purpose is that the Evyon should also have a Purim Suda. You're going to have a Purim Suda. That's one of the mitzvahs of the day. 1 second. So Rav Shai said, I assume that all of us give more than $5 to $10, considering how much we spend on Mishloach Manos and how much we spend on our own Suda's Purim. We're only going to, it's embarrassing. You're up to Shemayim after 20, God's going to say, oh, spend $150 in costumes and you spent $200 on Mishloach Manos and you spent $300 on your suit and you gave $5 to the Evyon, so that's a little pathetic. So Rav Shai said, I assume that all of us here give more than $5 to $10, but it's very important, has to be given on Purim day. If you do not have an Evyon to give it to on Purim day, give it to the Rav who you trust. Before Purim day, he distributes it on Purim. It's one of the mitzvahs of Purim. It has to be fulfilled. Do you not, Yotze? Yes. Say it again. That's interesting. That's a good, interesting point. That's a very nice point. So why don't we give it on, I don't know, 4 days before Purim? Okay, it's a nice question. I don't know. I'm repeating. I don't teach anything halacha on my own. Nothing. I'm repeating what I heard. It's interesting. I'm going to make a pun. Food for thought. Okay. In terms of Mishloach Manos, this is one of my big I have a very hard time with Mishloach Manos today. You should just know. A mitzvah is two foods to one person. Did you all hear what I said?
Yeah.
Two foods to one person. Again, the purpose of Mishloach Manos is that everyone should have something for the Su'udah. So you imagine the shtetl, okay? I don't know how many people lived in a town. Some of them had more, some had less. If everyone gives two Su'udah-worthy foods, that's part of the halacha. It must be Su'udah-worthy foods. So Rav Shai said all the candy and all the gum and all the melachic chocolate and all the sugar powder, he said it's very nice, it's garbage. Nobody's eating that at their Su'udah. So if you give wine and, I don't know, a pie, it doesn't mean they're actually going to serve it at their Su'udah, but they could technically serve it. So wine, obviously, we have at the Su'udah, and pie could be used for dessert. The Gemara says, by the way, and there's also another misconception. Some of you might be aware of these halachos, some of you might not be. It's very good to review them before Purim. It's not my own thoughts. I'm reiterating that, I think, for the fourth time. So nobody should think Michal is passing any halacha. If you have a shayla, ask your own Rav. In terms of Mishloach Manos, it's two foods to one person. You fulfill the mitzvah. You want to fulfill the mitzvah. There's a misconception that it has to be two foods of a different bracha. This is not that I've heard from Rav Shai, but I know that the Gemara says, I've seen it in OU Halacha Yomis, The Gemara says you could give two parts of the cow. So today nobody's doing that, but I guess you could. It might be a nice for Shalach Mas. Could you imagine if you got a skirt steak and a London bra? I wouldn't complain, okay? So it could be from the, I don't know, I don't even know how it works with Shechita. It could be the foreleg, and it could be the hind leg. Those are the same brachos. They are both shahakal. You could give red wine and white wine. They are two different foods. So if you give somebody a potato kugel and chicken cutlets, I don't know if they're going to use it, but that is two foods. Su'uda worthy. Once again, everyone should have a su'uda. Today, what has happened, unfortunately, is like some of the problems that we create in our society. It's completely over the top. I do not approve of it. Why do we do it? Because like Rav Brodny Shlita and Rav Reisman Shlita said at the Aguda convention this year, when they asked them about there's this new thing now, and it's been a mishpacha over the past couple months, lots of back and forth letters. Now the discussion has died down. Should girls send out their pictures for Shidduch Mezumis? It's a big thing now. Okay. I'm not asking your opinion. I'm going to tell you what they said. They asked them at the question and answer session at the Aguda convention to Rosh Yeshiva. Rabbi Breisman and Rav Brodny. Should, am I pronouncing it wrong? Brodny? Oh, I didn't even know that. Thank you. Brodny and Rav Reisman Shlita. They asked them on the panel, should you do this? They said, pasnish, but don't make your child the korban. It's beautiful. Das, pasnish. It's not appropriate. But don't make your child the korban. Don't make your child the sacrifice. So I make sure my kids know that the mitzvah is two seuda-worthy foods to one person. So if I give a rav, and we go to the rabbeim, a parv bar of chocolate and a bottle of wine, that one person, your yotze, they could serve the wine at the seuda, and they could eat the chocolate for dessert. That's parv. Now, if they don't want to, they don't have to, but I fulfilled the mitzvah. All the nash, the 40 packages, the sugar ad nauseum that the kids give out, don't make your kid the korban. So let them be besimcha and let them enjoy, and they should count it after, and don't deprive your grandchildren because you went to shir. Micha Horowitz said it's two foods to one person. So now you go home and you say, listen, Bobby's not giving you shalach manas anymore. I fulfilled it with the rabbi. It's not what I'm saying, but we should have the kavana and understand what the halacha wants. So when we talk about everything in society being over the top, it's not that the halacha created that problem. We created the problem of over excess and unnecessary spending. The halacha is two foods to one person. That's not so crazy. So when we talk about how expensive Purim is, we made it expensive, not the halacha that made it expensive. So you just have to keep it in mind. As my children do know the mitzvah. So mishloach manos, we discuss matanos avyonim. So udas Purim, it should be a festive su'udah, you should wash, you should drink adelo yada, maybe not. Today there's so many concerns with that, but it's supposed to be a very festive day. You are supposed to include others who are perhaps less fortunate than you, who would not have a Purim experience. The Rambam writes in Sbeferish and Hilchos Yom Tov that one who takes care of himself, who feeds his own stomach and his own family, but does not take care of the pauper, is just eating an eating of stomach filling, but not an eating of Torah. And in fact, I want to relate it to Pasuk in the Megillah, but you wanted to say something? Wasn't your hand up? Yeah. Oh, so thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Important, and thank you. Matanas le'avyonim, remind me to come back to the su'udah, please. Matanas le'avyonim, very important. Mishloach manos ish l're'ehu. Sending two foods, manos, ish, one man, l're'ehu, to his friend. U'matanos, plural, le'avyonim, to poor people. So even the halacha itself shows you what the emphasis should be on. You could send one food package with two foods to one person. But when it comes to giving gifts to the poor, it's plural. So we see when the Rabbanim were misaking the halachos and the mitzvos, the four mitzvos of Purim Day, what the emphasis should be. All the sugar that ends up in the garbage anyway, and I mean Pesach is coming, so what you're practically doing the day after Purim is cleaning out your closets. The essence should be giving gifts, plural, to the poor, food packages, one man, two, his friend, but don't make your child or your grandchild the korban. Today's society, if there's an accepted thing, but they should have the proper hashkafa. Going back to Su'udah, thank you very much. Going back to Su'udah, So the Gemara says in Mesachas Megillah, Tes Zayin Amud Beis, Mesachas Megillah 16b, expounding upon the Pasuk at the end of Parakhas. I actually think it's Parakhas, Pasuk Tes Zayin. It's Megillah Tes Zayin on Parakhas, Pasuk Tes Zayin. Yes, it is. So the Pasuk says in Megillah 8:16, La Yehudim, you all know this Pasuk up by heart. You know why? Because we say it in Havdalah. La Yehudim Haisa Ora Vesimcha Vesasam Vikar. The Kain Tiolan who's not in here. Okay? La Yehudim Haisa Ora, the Jews had light. Vesimcha, gladness. Sason, joy. Vikar, and honor. So the Gemara in Mesachas Megillah, I'm still talking about Su'udis Purim. The Gemara in Maseches Megillah 16b teaches as follows. What is this pasuk talking about? La Yehudim Haisa. This is after we won. Hey, Haman's finished, and the reign of terror is over, and the Jews are saved, and everybody made it out free, and clearly Hashem was always with us, and He obviously never abandoned us. So therefore, we had Ora, light, Simcha, joy, Sason, rejoicing, Ora, Simcha, Sason, Vikar, and honor. So the Gemara says, what are these four things? So this is Gemara to 16b with Rashi. The Gemara, I'll go look it up. So the Gemara, I don't mean facetious when I say that. I really mean, if you want to verify what I'm saying, you could go look it up. So the Gemara says, what are these four things referring to? La Yehudim Haisa Ora, Orazu, Torah. Orazu Torah. The Jews reaccepted upon themselves the Torah. Because Rashi, to this piece of Gemara, says that Haman wanted to eradicate these certain things. You'll hear what the four are. Haman wanted to eradicate them. When the Jews won after Purim, they reestablished and affirmed their commitment to these four mitzvos. So the Yehudim Haisa Ora, Orazu Torah. The Gemara quotes the pasuk from Mishlei, Kiner Mitzvah V'Torah Or. Torah is light. And therefore, when the Megillah says in 8:16 the Jews had light, it means they re-evolved themselves in a life of Torah. La'yudim Hayisor. Simcha. What simcha? Why am I talking about this in regard to the Mitzvah of Su'udah? You will hear in 1 minute. Simcha is... Right, so that's what someone else in my Monday morning class said. There is a principle, Ein Simcha B'Basar B'Yayin, but what is the mitzvah of Simcha that they took upon themselves? Yom Tov. Yom Tov. How to know it's Yom Tov? Does someone say something? Who's saying something? I can't hear what you're saying.
No, we said Yom Tov.
Raise your hand, because I don't know what you're saying.
We said Yom Tov.
So why is Simcha the acceptance of Yom Tov? What's the proof? Ah, beautiful. She looked it up before she came. So the proof is very, very nice. How do you know that Simcha is Yom Tov? Because the Torah says in regard to Yom Tov, Visamachta Bechagecha, on your chagim, you should have Simcha. So when it says Lo Yehudim Haisa Ora Torah, Simcha is Yom Tov. How do you know? Because the Gemara quotes a pasuk from, I believe, Devarim 23. Visamachta Bechagecha. But what's the rest of the pasuk? Ata, uvanecho, vitcha, avdecha, v'amasecha. You should rejoice on the Yom Tov with your son, your daughter, your maidservant, your manservant, your maidservant. And then the Gemara says, v'halevi, v'hager, v'hayasam, v'ha'amana. You should rejoice. You should have simchas chagim, simchat chagim. It says, v'samachta b'chagecha. Be rejoicing on the Yomim Tovim. Who should rejoice with you? Your son, your daughter, your manservant, your maidservant. The levi, the convert, the widow, and the orphan. So Chazal say on this pasuk, as quoted by Rashi to Chumash, what are these different categories? Eight people were just mentioned that should rejoice with you. Beautiful. You should rejoice with, I'm going to repeat, your son, your daughter, your manservant, your maidservant. Along with the convert, the levi. A levi doesn't get a portion in the land. You are required to provide for them. The widow and the orphan. So Chazal say, why these four categories? Hashem says, in your simcha, Simchat Chagim, Simchas Yom Tov, if you take care of my four, the convert, the levi, the widow, and the orphan, I will take care of your four, your son, your daughter, your manservant, your maidservant. That's why Hashem puts, we shouldn't say that's why, that's what Hashem teaches us by putting these eight people together. The first four are your four. Represent your wealth, your ashivus, your happiness, your family. The last four represent God's despondent who are in a difficult position. So Ribbono Shel Olam says, V'samachta b'chagacha, you want to know what Simchas Yom Tov is? If you take care of mine, I will take care of yours. So what does this have to do with Su'udas Purim? If we are rejoicing on the Yom Tov at our Su'uda, make sure it is not only you and your son and your daughter and your manservant and your maidservant. There are, yes, today, okay, we don't have the Leviim in terms of that they don't have homes or cities to live in, but we have, in our times, many of people who perhaps do not have somewhere to go, who perhaps do not have family, perhaps they are convert and they don't have any connection. Hashem says, when you take care of mine, that's Simcha. I will take care of yours. So Su'udas Purim, we have to, did anyone knock at the hand, sign in? Yes, on this side there are a number of people. And over here also. Okay, we'll pass to you after. So La Yehudim 8:16. La Yehudim Haisa Ora, Ora Zu Torah. Simcha, Yom Tov. Sason, Rismila. Sas Anochi Al Imatzacha. The Gemara says it's Kapitel Kuf Yates, chapter 119 of Tehillim, which is all the Aleph Beis paragraphs. The final one is really tough. It's second to the last paragraph in chapter 119. Sas Anochi Al Imratzacha Kemotze Shalom Rav. Queen David says, I rejoice over your word like someone who finds great spoils. The Gemara says, Sason is Bris Mila. And finally, Yikar is Tefillin. Tefillin. All the nations of the world will see that the name of God is Nikra Elecha V'Yarumi Panecha. The nations of the world will see that the name of God is called upon you, Nikra Yikar Tefillin. And the Gemara says, Eilu Tefillin Shabarosh. So we see that these are the things Haman wanted to eradicate. It's important to remember that there was also a spiritual decimation here. We tend to think of Purim as only physical annihilation, which it was, because from here we're going to segue into starting with Parshas Zachor. That was just the introduction to our Shir. They wanted to destroy us spiritually, as we have just proven, and therefore when you're so busy in these physical activities of the day, Purim's a very physical day. Matanas Lev Yonim is a physical mitzvah. Mishloach Manos is a mitzvah of physicality. Su'uda is a mitzvah of eating. Mikra Megillah involves the senses. Yes, make it spiritual, because don't forget that they wanted to decimate us spiritually, as we have just proven from the Gemara, and we won. So when we're busy with the Gashmis, don't forget the Ruchnias. However, they did want to kill us physically as well. So all of our enemies are a Venn diagram. There's no enemy who just wants to kill us and doesn't attack the Batei Knesios and doesn't rip apart the Sifrei Torah and doesn't have book burnings. They, you know, it's a dual-like party over here. Some of them focus more on physicality and less on rooting out the spirituality, and some are vice versa. But enemies in all time have wanted to kill both us and eradicate our religion. Therefore, how do we begin the whole celebration? And the last mitzvah is Mikra Megillah. Okay, I should have just at least mentioned it. We spoke about Matanos Avyonim, Mishloach Manos, Su'udas Purim, and finally, Su'uda has to be washed before Shkiyah, make sure. And finally, Mikra Megillah. It's the only Megillah that we read evening and morning. Okay. Interestingly, what's wrong?
They're moving the clock this week.
I can't hear.
They're moving the clock.
Yes. Tiny Esther is going to be a very long day. Very long day. It was the same thing last year. We mamish changed the clocks. It wouldn't happen in Israel. We're in Galus. Arav Tiny Esther, which means it's going to be a much longer day. You have a mitzvah, Mikra Megillah. It's really the first mitzvah Purim night. The first mitzvah, and how we begin, really, the festivities of Purim is with Mikra Megillah. So since you brought that up, and I brought up the mitzvah Mikra Megillah, which I forgot to touch upon, is the fourth mitzvah of the day. It's very interesting. So Rav Shai spoke about this last year, and again, he repeated it this year. Especially this year, when it's a very long day, it's very difficult. But you are not supposed to eat before the Megillah. Well, you might not understand why. Why can't I eat? Tainus Esther is over. It's Seis HaChochavim. They daven Mariv, which is what we do every day, and it's not unique to Purim. And now we're going to do the first mitzvah of Purim day, which is Mikra Megillah. So why can't I eat first and do the mitzvah of Mikra Megillah after? Well, the reason is, and he said this applies to many aspects of our life. We went into it for about 15 minutes. I'm not going to. But because when you have a special mitzvah of the day, you must first do the mitzvah before you eat. He says this has many ramifications in halacha. For example, tefillah every morning. You are supposed to daven before you eat. He spoke at length, very, very interestingly, about Rosh Hashanah. Some shuls take a break for Kiddush before Tkiyah Shofar. He said this is absolutely contrary to halacha. He quoted the sources. You could all go look on Y.U. Torah on this internet. I heard him speak about this in the past as well. The whole essence of Rosh Hashanah is Yom Teruah Yihyeh Lachem. It is a day of calling of holiness, but the unique mitzvah to the day is Tkiyah Shofar. And he quoted one Posek, he was actually quoting the Tshuva inside, I don't remember who, says you leave the Sefer Torah sitting on the bima, you leave the mitzvah of the day to go home and eat. So he says maybe someone needs a small drink of water or tea. Oh, he quoted a Sephardi Acharon, who says, I heard that the Ashkenazim drink tea before shofar, and he was blasting it. It goes back a couple hundred years ago. The Sephardi Posek said, I heard the Ashkenazim drink tea before shofar. Can you believe it? He was quoting it in the Lashon of the Psak in Hebrew. So Avshai said, if only we only drank tea. He said, that's not what goes on. He says, I've seen this Kadeshim, and the people aren't even thinking about shofar. So it's contrary to halacha. A person has to be very careful and question if you're allowed to eat before the mitzvah of the day. And the answer is no. And he said something very interesting. Perhaps this is one of the reasons why a Chasan and Kala fast. One of the mitzvahs of the Chasan and Kala is one of the reasons they fast is because mochin lo kol avonosav. It's like a Yom Kippur. All their sins are forgiven. So therefore they fast. It's a Yom Kippurim for them. But another reason is mitzvah for them of the day. Kiddushin is a mitzvah. They're about to get married. Before you do a mitzvah, you have to eat daven. You have to, no, before you do a... Before you eat, you have to fulfill the mitzvah. So, before you daven, you have to... What am I saying? Before you eat, you have to daven. Before you eat, you have to do tkiyas shofar. I'm not talking about a person who's sick, please. Person with special dietary requirements. 1 minute, I see your hand. Please let me finish my thought. A person who has special dietary requirements. A person who is yotzei min hakal. Obviously, I'm not including that. If there's a person who has a health condition and is required to drink a cup of orange juice and eat, I don't know, a bowl of cereal every single morning when they wake up for health conditions, I'm obviously not talking about. I'm talking about those of us who are not going to pass away, Baruch Hashem, if I daven and I push off my eating. So that's a problem because, like we said last week, what are our, how we ended shir, what are my priorities, and what do I make time for? I am not poskening. I'm repeating that. I am telling you to ask a shayla if you have one, but just keep this in mind. And therefore, we read Megillah before we eat. If a person is really ill and faint, he said, and they feel they can't hear Megillah before, they could have a drink of water and something very small, not to be koveya asu'udah. He said this beferish, could have water, something very small. Again, ask your own rabbi if you don't like what I'm saying, so that they will not... They'll be able to concentrate, and then they won't pass out. But it is not proper to involve yourself in a meal before Megillah. Yes?
Okay. Okay, let's go there. There were many, many questions about the Midrashim that do break for Kiddush.
Okay, so that's, first of all, what did I say? Like five times. What did I say? I'm not passing halacha. You should ask your own Rav. I'm repeating what I heard. He quoted with sources. Everybody could go online and listen. This is not your mahalach. I said that like six times. I appreciate your comment, but that's why I preempted it by telling you. Hashkafically take the idea home of what I'm saying, even if this is not how halachically you live your life. What is the priority in my life? What is the first thing I have to do when I wake up? So he said, again, he was quoting many, many sources. He said, so how did it come to be that people, you know, eat or drink before tefillah? Because then the post can realize that people are having trouble. So they said, you could have water. Then it went to water with a little bit of flavor. See, then it went from, I'm talking about regular morning davening, not Purim, not the day of the wedding, And then it went from water with a little bit of flavor to coffee, and then it went to milk, and then it went to sugar. So you see what tends to happen, and all of a sudden you're having, you know, the whole Israeli breakfast before tefillah. So however you paskin, I said it 10 times, ask your own Rav. I'm not judging anybody what you do. Keep in mind the hashkafa. If you need to eat before Mikra Megillah, ask your rabbi, because it's not so pasha. If you feel like you're going to faint, so nobody wants you, chas v'sham, to pass out, and pikuach nefesh is docha hakah. The other time we do Megillah is during Purim Day. Again, sometime has to be before Shkias HaChama. By us, Chabad, amazing what they do, the work of Lubavitch. They have Mikra Megillah every hour on the hour from the morning till before Shkia. Those are the four mitzvahs of the day. The second half of Shir, I want to move to Parsha Zachar. So yes, they wanted to spiritually annihilate us, and that's why we fortify ourselves with mitzvos, Sa'leidim, I saw Ora, Torah, Simcha, Yom Tov, Sason, Brismila, Vikar, Tfilin. We actually begin these festivities in Book of Devarim, Perek Chafhei, Pasuk Yud Zayin. This coming Shabbos, it is a mitzvah asay deoraisa for everybody to hear this read aloud in Beis Knesset from the Sefer Torah. And so they will take out two Sefer Torah. In one we read Tetzava, which I still love, even though I'm not talking about it today, about the Big Day Kohuna and the Mizbeach HaZahav and the continuation of Malachas HaMishkan. And from the second we will read Zachor Eis Asher Asalucha Amalek. Remember what Amalek did to you. Bederach B'tzeischa Mimitzrayim, on your way coming out of Egypt. Why are we reading about Amalek as the bridge into the day of Purim? Because Haman Ha'agagi Mizara Amalek. Haman came from the sole survivor when Shaul did not kill Agag, the king. Haman Ha'agagi, Haman from King Agag, Mizara Amalek, from the seed of Amalek. So his great-great-great-great-great-great-grandfather was the original Amalek, who was grandson of Esav. Remember what Amalek did to you when you were coming out of the way of Egypt. Asher Karcha Baderech, they chanced upon you. They attacked you. There are many interpretations into this word Karcha. Why doesn't it say that they fought with you? Why doesn't it say straight out that they attacked you? Rashi gives a very famous mashal. They cooled you off. Karcha, from the word kor, cold. They cooled you off before the other nations of the world. After Yetzias Mitzrayim, everyone was afraid to touch the Jews. Along comes one scoundrel. Scoundrel, says Rashi, and attacks us. Even though he got burned by jumping into the hot tub, he proved to everybody else that the Bnei Yisrael are not as hot as you think. The water in the bath is not so hot. Jump into the bath. Vayizanei b'chol kol hanechal shalem acharecha. They attack from Zanav. So why, again, what does Vayizanei b'chol mean? They attacked all the weak ones at your rear. It's from the word zanav. When do we use that? On Rosh Hashanah. Shkuniya Rosh, Shanihiya L'Rosh, Vilo, Lizanav. You should be for the head and not the tail. So Rashi says, what is Vayizanei Becha? Makat zanav, a blow to the tail. Choseich Milos, Vizorek Klapamala. Amalek would cut off the brismila, would cut off the male organ, and throw it. Choseich Milos would cut off the circumcised organ and throw them upward as a sign of defiance to God. If we did not come from a generation of Holocaust survivors, so we might think that this is impossible. However, knowing our grandparents or your parents and what they survived, we know that the nation will stoop to any depraved, beyond words level. You know, when I go on the Tchadkma, so I some people tell me they read when they exercise, listen to Shir. I can't do that. I can't hear. Also, I'm like sweating and not sneeze stress. I don't know if it's the right time to listen to Torah, but besides you, that's when I go on the Tchadkma, so I watch something kosher. So there is I looked up on Netflix documentaries to see what I could watch. So I saw something that said the concentration camp. So I said, let me see what this is. It's from August 1945. It's the footage, the original United States footage from when the camps were liberated. It's, I think, 6,000 feet of reel or 8,000 feet of reel from out of 16,000 feet or 60,000 feet. And they have the letters from the original. You've watched it? You're nodding yes.
I know that whole story about...
Oh, so they have the letters in the front. It's like an old-fashioned movie. It's original footage. It's not touched up. It's not in color. It's not, you know, high resolution. They have the letters from the original cameraman and the original army general signed testimony. This is what we saw. I think I watched 2 minutes, and I've been to Poland, and I have my grandfather's memoirs, and I've read many, many, many biographies and memoirs. And nothing that you read could compare to standing in Auschwitz-Birkenau and Majdanek before the pile of ashes and in the forest with the mass graves, and none of that could compare of one iota to anyone who, Rahman al-Islam, went through that actual Gehenim. Can't compare. So I watched 2 minutes. Of those 2 minutes, I think I looked away for one. I couldn't even look. I had to turn it off. It's not like I don't even know about the Holocaust. I have no words. I literally could not watch it. You could all look it up if anybody is interested. It's the original footage. I think it's 45 minutes or 1 hour. It's from August of 1945. I could not watch it. My son, my adult son, said he watched a little bit more than me. He said it gets worse. I can't even imagine that it got worse than it's in my mind. I have no words. So they come after the weak ones. It is a makat zanam, says Rashi, choseich milos. So if I didn't have any association with the Malak, I wouldn't believe that they could be so cruel. But we have to remember that the whole festive celebration of Purim, that they, why are we celebrating? It becomes such a day of benahafachu and festivities, and music and dancing and eating and party and yes, mishloach manos. I don't forget what the whole celebration was for. Jose Chmilos Vizore Klape Mala. They cut off the men, they countered men, you know, during the war, that they would pull down pants of men, and that was one of the ways if they suspected a Jew was hiding. Va'ata Ayef V'yageya, you were tired and weak, weary, velo yare Elohim. Around she says, Amalek did not fear God. And it will be when God gives you rest from your enemies all around, in the land that God gives you as an inheritance to inherit it. Timcha es zecher Amalek mitachas hashemayim lo tishkach. So this mitzvah, it's 3 psukim long, 25:17-19 in Devarim, 3 psukim long. It begins with zachor, and it ends with lo tishkach. So there's one coin, for example, with two sides. One side of the coin is the mitzvahs aseh deoraisa, zachor, and one side of the coin is the mitzvah lo ta'aseh deoraisa, which is lo tishkach. So one is the positive, you shall remember. And I don't like to translate, I don't like that lo ta'aseh mitzvahs are translated as negative commandments. I don't know why we say that. It's completely gives a negative connotation. You shall not transgress, you shall not forget. And that is how important it is, and this is how we begin the entire celebration of Purim Day. Everybody, women are also included, just like Afheim Hayu Ba'oso Hanes. So too, the Gemara says, we were included in the decree of destruction. Haman wanted to kill not only the men, but the women also. Lahashkmi Larugo Abed Es. Therefore, another mitzvah of this time period, besides for everything that we have spoken about already, today is some hashkafa combined with halacha, is the imperative to go here, Parshas Zachar. I think that Sfardim do not, if I'm correct, we used to live in Brooklyn, it was many, many years ago, across the road from a family, the woman was Ashkenazi, the husband was Sfardi, but I remember, I think she said, does anyone know, is anyone here Sfardi? That women, Sfardi women do not go to hear Pasha Zachar. I think it's considered mitzvah aseh shazman graman for them. I'm not, that's not 100%, I think. But if you're not Sfardi, so we will all be going to shul to hear this mitzvah.
I'm Sephardi.
Pardon?
I'm Syrian. And the women go to shul.
They do.
Okay. They hear whatever they want. I mean, it's
but for Parshas Zachar specifically?
I don't know about that.
No, that's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about specifically if they want to go because they want to go, but I'm not sure if they go because they are required to hear the fulfillment of the reading of the destruction of Amalek. That's what I'm saying.
I'm going to ask my cousin. She's very, very.
Okay. I'm interested. Okay. What did someone say? Did someone say something that I should address?
To Google it.
What?
Google.
Forget it. Go on. Let's go. Haman ben Hamdasa ha'agagi. So I'm quoting from, this is called Majesty and Mystery by Norman Lamb. So he writes, underneath all the obvious fun of the gruggers and the stampings are the expression of vindictiveness. Doesn't this open the floodgates to hatred against real people here and now? How are we supposed to understand this? Because our religion cultivate hate. Timcha et zecher amalek, or et zecher amalek, they read the pasuk twice, klushal, erase, obliterate the remembrance of Amalek from under the heavens. Do not forget. It's not hatred, unreservedly evil and morally corrupting. So is a Jew allowed to hate? But just as there is a mitzvah to love God, v'ahavta es Hashem Elokecha, and just like there is a mitzvah to love your neighbor, v'ahavta l'recha kamocha, just there is a mitzvah to love the convert, like we learned in the last six parshas of Mishpatim, so too there is a mitzvah to hate. For instance, we must hate Amalek. And yet, the halacha provides immediate correctives and restraints, so the practice is far different from the theory. Some authorities maintain the command to destroy Amalek is only operative. Some authorities contain. Today, by the way, it's not operative at all, because nobody could go in and slay an entire town. We can't pass on exactly who Amalek is. Anyways, we would have the whole wrath of the world against us. We don't live in a time when we can do this. The pasuk clearly says, V'haya b'haniach Hashem Elokecha lecha mikol aydecha misaviv ba'eretz. So when God gives us rest from our enemies all around, then we should erase them. We can remember what they did, but today we do not put this into practice. Chas v'shalom. Okay. We reserve our actual living hatred for the unusually hateful individuals who commit historic crimes and whose malice is monstrous and premeditated. Against these people, we do have a mitzvah to hate. Their malice is monstrous, premeditated, who commit, I don't even think I could watch 2 minutes of that documentary. It's not like I don't know about the Holocaust. And I quote my grandfather's commemorators, which are in front of me. Oh, my grandfather's yahrzeit was this past Monday, Vav Adar, Nesham Shev Aliyah, Yitzchak ben Moshe, and the merit of our Torah learning today. So, it's not like I don't know. I couldn't watch it. I'm not a young child. Anti-Semites who wish to destroy all the Jewish people. Monsters who seek sadistically to wipe out whole populations. Such people remain deserving on moral grounds of contempt and hatred. We can't be such rachmanim. And it's important because today you have liberal Jews who feel that the whole world can be conquered through love. It's not true. Not everything can be solved with love. There are some populations, peoples, ideologies that are beyond love. You wouldn't say, let's try and sit down and talk to Hitler and have a rational conversation with Adolf Eichmann and let's work, let's educate him, let's show him the light, let's teach him love. It's not going to work. The Torah understands this. And of course, we are always bidden to release our hatred against symbols of evil. Peace in our time. Who said it? Winston Churchill when he came back from a meeting with Hitler? Yeah.
Chamberlain.
Neville Chamberlain. Thank you. Peace in our time. This is the basic motif of the command to read the biblical portion of Amalek and to observe the festival of Purim. So we're so busy with the Mishnah and the driving. I'm signed up for a New York City alternate side parking, so I know that there's going to be open parking or when there's not, and I just saw that alternate side parking on Tuesday is suspended because of Purim. We're so busy driving on music and the trucks in the street playing music. So, Achmaz, don't forget the whole, how do we start this whole series of festivities on this Shabbos when we read about Amalek? It's not just words. Internalize what the Torah is telling you. These are hateful people who are undeserving of seeing the light of love. You have a mitzvah pasha to destroy them. That's what Haman wanted to do with us. You're going to stand by and say, oh, let's, you know, see if we could work it out. Maybe the Jews aren't so bad. Heaven's not interested. This is the basic motif of the command to read the biblical portion of Amalek and to observe the festival of Purim. I want to teach my children to hate as well as to love. Your children have to know against whom it is appropriate to actually hate. It seems like such a not Jewish notion. It disturbs us, but it shouldn't disturb us, because if we love everybody unconditionally, we're going to find ourselves in big trouble. I want them to know there is a moral law which requires that those who have placed themselves outside of morality, they have placed themselves outside of morality, deserve our contempt. I want my children to have available for themselves the psychological relief in hating those who deserve it. They need to be validated. The feelings of hatred against the Umos HaOlam in ourselves and in our children, the Torah validates that. I have a friend, he's a very well-known social worker, Sahava Farman, and some of you may know her name, and she speaks very much about the importance of validating a person's feelings. She gives many places from the Torah where we see that the Torah validates the human emotion, and this is one of them. The Torah says, Rebbe Shalom says, I understand that you hate the Nazis. I understand that you despise the Arab terrorists who slit babies' throats. I understand how you feel about a Malik who is Choseich Milos. It is valid. It is normal. I want my children to have available for themselves the psychological relief in hating those who deserve it, so that they can relate to all others constructively and lovingly. I want them to be halachic Jews, and thus to handle hatred with extreme circumspection and caution and great care. It's not a blanket statement to go hating everybody you meet. Doesn't mean if somebody, a good Torah Jew, disagrees with you hashkafically. One says don't eat before shofar. One says do eat before shofar. So that doesn't mean that there's hatred. It means there's a difference of opinion. Everyone, I said, follows your own rep. So they have to know how to channel the hatred appropriately. Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai loved each other, but they was always having machlokas. 3.5 years, nachuku, Beis Hillel, Beis Shammai, one topic. Halacha k'maseinu, and these ones say halacha k'maseinu. They didn't hate each other. But there are times when we are directed to hate. And so, in effect, our children should hate without hurt. In other words, if they hate appropriately, then it won't cause hurt against friends, against people who should be lovers. I don't mean that intimately, I mean Reim Ahuvim. And express their innate hostility towards evil by stamping and stomping and by gruggering, by hamar. I was trying to remember, I was typing up notes last week for a session, whatever. I was trying to remember how you say grugger in Ivrit. So I went to look it up. Ra'ashan. So I went to look it up, and then I remembered from the year that I lived there, it is Ra'ashan. Ra'ashanim. What?
Ra'ashanim.
Right. Ra'ashanim, Ra'ashan. By restricting our hatred to evil and those who personify it. So it's fascinating that the Torah allows you to hate a certain population and a certain people by restricting our hatred to evil and those who personify it, and symbolized by chanting the command to obliterate Amalek, which is this coming Shabbos. We gather in public. What are we doing? We're reading Timcha Etzei. It's a divine command. Wipe out any remembrance, any trace of these people from under the heavens. By hissing and booing at the mentions of Haman's name, we shall learn to act lovingly to all of God's other creatures. The Torah says you are human beings, and human beings have a variety of emotions and reactions. And if Hashem didn't want us to have that, we wouldn't be created like this. Then we'd be one-dimensional malachim who don't feel anything. However, the Rebbe Shalom recognizes how he made us, and there is a place for this emotion when it is reserved for the right category of people. And it is reserved for Rishayim, and that's something we should actually teach our children. They have to know the distinction, though, between Vahafta Recha Kamocha, Vahafta Sager, Vahafta Sashem Elkecha, Lahavdil, too, Timcha et Zechar Malik, Matacha Sashemayim. We take them to Shul, and we read this aloud. Yes?
Yeah, what happens when the enemy comes from within?
So it's terrible. It's terrible. It's so scary now, the political Hashem should save us. So I will tell you, I'm not going to give a whole shiur on this now. I gave a two-part. Each shiur was 1 hour long. I gave a two-hour shiur divided into two parts on the bracha of Olamal Shinim Alsi Sikva, doing at the JCC in Cedarhurst, series on Shmona Esrei, on the different brachas of Amida. Last fall, We did two different brachos, and then parts 3 and 4 were on the bracha of Alamashinim al Sisikva. Minim Karagu Vedu. This was the 19th bracha that was added. It was written by Shmuel HaKatan in the aftermath of the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. Shmona Esrei, the Amida really had 18 brachos. Shmona Esrei means 18. The 19th bracha was, against the slanderers, let there not be any hope. Let all the minim, the non-believers, immediately be destroyed. V'chala Risha, l'kash anticha, that's from the Yamim Noraim. That also. V'chala Risha, kula tichla, yes. V'chala Risha, v'chala min karega vidu. V'chala oive amcha mehere yikaresu. The enemies of your people should immediately be cut down. Do you know that this bracha was written against who? What?
Against
the Jews. It was organized by the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah. It was written against the early Christians who were the enemies of the people who were Jews. I'm not poskening anything about today's political scene, but we are in very frightening times where there is enemy from within. And the bracha of, I'm not telling, obviously no one leaves this year and takes any action. We cannot implement this. A Jew is not a malik, but I am pointing out that the bracha was of the four parts. I've already taught five parts in this series. There's four more to come this spring, but Ezra Hashem. Now we're doing the bracha of Rifa'enu in two parts. But the Vilamal Shinu was actually my favorite one personally, because I never even knew this. And what we're davening for is the destruction of people. Who had their sitter last week? Someone had a sitter. Okay. What we're doing is davening for the destruction of people. It seems to be so outside of the motif of the rest of the Amida, where we daven for positive blessings. Barech aleinu es hashana zos tova. Bless this year and give us parnasa. Rifa'enu, give us refua. Hashivu shofteinu kivrishona. That also is relevant today. To restore our judges as of old. Everything seems so positive. And here we're davening what? Destroy people. Mamish, destroy people. The Lamal Shinim al Sihi Sikva. V'chol HaRisha. Oh, so I say this is Ashkenaz. It doesn't matter. It's the same. There are differences, actually. It's interesting when you learn in depth. It doesn't matter. Kol HaRisha Kirega Toved. Mine's a little different. It doesn't matter. V'chol Eivecha Mehera Yikaresu. The slanderer should not have hope. All evil should immediately be destroyed. All of your enemies, God, should immediately be cut down. And all of the wanton sinners should immediately be uprooted and smashed down. And simager, I'll tell you a cute word about usimager. And humbled quickly in our days. Blessed are you, God, who breaks the enemy and who humbles the sinners. You're davening for the destruction of people. So one of someone in the shir said she has a lot of problems with this. Again, it was mamash 2 hour shir. She has a lot of problems with this, but what you're davening for, it was a whole shir quoting many, many different sources, is the destruction of evil. If people would not be evil, we wouldn't be davening for the destruction of people. But you see that Rabbi Norma writes that it is mutter to hate certain populations, and this bracha was composed by the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah. It's the 19th, not in chronological order. In chronological order, I think it's the 13th, but it's the 19th blessed. It was composed against Jews who were distorting and becoming enemies of the integrity of Knesset Yisrael. I'm not saying they're Amalek, Chas V'Sham, but they can at times do very serious damage to Knesset Yisrael, lately, when I say this bracha, it has a lot of meaning. But I'll tell you a kuvar, Rav Elimelech Biederman says, since we brought it up, it was a very good question. She laughed, but it was a very good question. V'hazeidi mehera se'aker, la'akor, to abrud. Usi shaber, shaber, break. Usi mager, v'sachnia. What does simager mean?
Throw down.
What?
Throw down.
How do you know? From art school? So Rav Elimelech Biederman says, what does this mean? He says, I don't know what it means. He quotes Hasidish rabbis in his teachings. I don't remember who he quotes. He says, what does simager mean? He says, I have no idea. But since it's in the context of bad, it's something bad. He says, what do you learn from here? Don't associate with evil. You might become evil. What is simager? I'm not sure what it means. But it's put by sa'akar, sa'shaber, sa'chniyah, so it must be something not good. So he learns, Mr. Haskam, whose is this? Thank you so much. So he learns a Musa Haska, and he says, don't associate with evil, or you might become evil. Yes.
If the rabbi is what is read by the tshuva, that Jews should come back.
Okay. I even mind for myself. I have enough problems. I need to come back. Never mind everybody else. Someone saying something? Yeah.
We do have a tradition after
Aleinu. Okay. Rishaim Od Einam. So we see, even though a Jew likes to think we are people full of love, and it's a problem. It is a problem because sometimes the extreme left and the liberals want to love everybody. And you know, it's not the Torah approach. I don't know. They probably don't. They don't gather in shul anyway on a weekly basis. But I'm sure that they don't hold about mechias amalech. It's not loving. It's not accepting. It's not politically correct. Who says the Torah is to be politically correct? These people are coming to destroy you, to annihilate you. Rav Soloveitchik says people don't understand Maisa Dina. How could Shimon and Levi go in and kill a whole population? Under a ruse, under a disguise. This is the B'nai Yaakov. He says they don't understand. It was either kill the town or Yaakov and his family would have been wiped out. There was no hope for Yaakov and his family. They were a few people. Shivim Nefesh, Yardu of Asinu Mitzrayim. By then we weren't even Shivim Nefesh. Had they not gone in and killed the people, they would have utterly been destroyed. It would have been the end of Knesset Israel before it ever started. So it's something important. We're not a hateful or hate-filled people. We are Rachmanim, Baishanim, and Gomlei Chasadim. But if we don't know how to properly divide our emotions between those that we love and those that we hate, then we run into serious problems, and they will come to kill us. They will come. Even those people that love them, they will come. Did someone have their hand up?
Yes.
Yeah.
From Osher Dweck.
So, I can't hear what you said.
From an Osher Dweck.
What did she say?
Somebody's Sephardi.
Are you saying a name?
Yes.
Okay.
The answer to the question about the Sephardic women, many do, but not all.
The Sephardim?
Yes.
So there you go. They may have taken upon themselves. I remember that. I don't believe there are mitzvah, there are God. What? They might go willingly, but I don't know if it's considered a mitzvah for them. I wanted to end, please, 1 second, by quoting from Rav Soloveitchik, okay? I'm quoting from a sefer called Days of Deliverance. The Jew discovered in the time of Haman that the hostility toward the Jew by Amalek, by man, Satan, Rav Soloveitchik calls Amalek man in many essays, hyphen Satan, is not directed exclusively against the religious Jew, who is conspicuous, who is different, who is unique. And Haman came along and he said, "Lahashmid arugula abed es kol yudim." Those on the peace loving on the left, and those on the right, and those in this garb, and those in that garb, and this head covering, and that, oh, it doesn't even have a head covering. The hatred of Amalek embraces religious as well as agnostic Jews. The nationalist Jew, as well as the assimilated Jew. The Jewish home adorned with the mezuzah, and the Jewish home stripped of everything Jewish. The hatred of Amalek is commodious enough to encompass and embrace every Jew and every Jewish home. 18,500 Jews, according to tradition, were invited to the reception given by Achashverosh for the population of Shushan. It's Medrash Esther Rabbah. I just quoted earlier on the Medrash inside in a different shir. Apparently, did you hear what I said? 18,000, almost 20,000 Jews were prominent enough and integrated enough into society to such an extent that Achashverosh felt it necessary to invite them to attend the festivities. Nevertheless, when the edict went out to exterminate all Jews in one day, those 18,500 were not excluded. No exemption for the assimilated, integrated Jews. Again, I wish to assure the secular politicians in Israel that secularization of the state will not enhance its prestige, nor make it more lovable or acceptable to Western society. All too often we think the more we integrate, the more we're like them, the more we go to their parties, the more we drink hashtiyah kadas einunez, I don't have time for any interruption, please. Then they'll accept us. Then we'll be exempt. Then they won't put us in the cattle cars. We're going to teach them with love. Good luck. At this point, the Jews realized and understood the idea of common destiny. Haman, ironically, united the Jews. His edict united the people. Who could unite them? Haman. He taught them, I'm skipping a little because of time, he taught them the idea of common destiny and the impossibility of escaping Jewish destiny. Quite often, certain Jews think they can escape the challenge and destiny of other Jews. There were German Jews I know who maintained that what happened to others could not happen to them for a variety of reasons. Cultural, sociological, economic, political. I'm at the party of Achas Kodesh. You might be in the cattle car. I'm going to be saved. I could not argue with them. Their reasons were solid. They were intelligent. They were integrated into society. Society could not get along without them. But the historical experience of the Nazi epoch proved the opposite. All Jews are vulnerable. All Jews are alike. All Jews are equal. All share in the same predicament. The Megillah is the book that proclaims the oneness of the Jewish people and their common faith and common destiny. The famous message that Mordechai sent to Esther. Al tedami b'nafsheich lihi malei beis hamelach mikol ha-yehudim. Do you think, dear queen, that you will escape with your life in the palace of the king more than any other Jews? And how did Esther react when she realizes the truism of Mordechai's words? We're all in it together. If we are all one people, if we are all united, if we all share the same destiny, Leich Knos, what's the answer to Haman's? Kol HaYehudim. Leich Knos, Es Kol HaYehudim. Vitzumu Alai. Val Tochu Val Tishtu, Shloshas Yamim, Laila Bayam, Gamaniven Arosai, Atzum Kain. Haman did not hate the individual. He hated the people as an entity. Yashno am echad. Mufuzar mufurad bein ha'amim. He indicted not individuals, but the nations. Am echad, one nation, one united people. Haman taught us what we really must be. Notwithstanding the fact that they are mufurad mufuzar, scattered and dispersed, they must be united. The fact is, we live in so many countries. We speak so many languages. We dress in a variety of ways. We have different concerns. Some before Rosh Chofar and some don't. But we may not even know one another. It does not deter Haman from looking upon us as one people. Despite the differences in dress and language and practice and hashkafa, or lack of hashkafa, halachic application or lack of halachic application. Haman saw us as one nation. And Mordechai said to Esther, don't think you're going to escape the fate. And that's a message to each and every Jew. We will not escape. So if Haman saw us as one people, what does she say? The answer to Haman is, only when we are together, leich knos es kol ha-yehudim. I wish everybody a meaningful Shabbos, a meaningful time. This Esther, an easy fast, and I'm very afraid of